We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The first day I was in Ann Arbor as the new full-time radio broadcaster, that was media day in advance of the 2019-2020 season. Of course, Juwan Howard's first as the head coach. And I'll be honest, that day from my perspective was a complete blur. I was just trying to meet as many people as I could while reconnecting with those who were coming back, either players or staff members from the previous postseason when I filled in, as I was transitioning and trying to learn as much as I could for this new incredible opportunity. That day I carried around a notebook, but it was basically useless. I didn't take hardly any notes. I was just trying to talk and meet and shake hands and get to know people, mostly just getting my bearings. But you know those things you hear that just get ingrained in your mind? Those things you just remember, you don't need to write down for future reference. There were a few of those on that day. One of them was Phil Martelli when he was asked about the new freshman, Franz Wagner. People, of course, knew the last name Wagner. Mo was incredible, and a lot of people were excited about Franz's potential, but no one really knew what to expect at that point. I don't have the direct quote. I don't have the exact words, but I remember the key takeaways of Phil Martelli describing Franz Wagner. Different. Rain Man. Get your tickets. And the one that I always, always think of first, savant. Now, Phil Martelli's a straight shooter. In a world of coach speak, he is a welcomed change of pace. But I did have that thought. This is the first time I'm interacting with Phil Martelli, first time he is in an official media scrum as a member of Michigan men's basketball. And I'm thinking, is this too much pressure to put on an 18-year-old? Franz was 18 at the time. But Michigan leaned on him and trusted him right away. So much so that after a month-long absence due to injury, Franz made his Wolverines debut at the Battle for Atlantis. Now, that is remembered, and deservedly so, as the true announcement that Michigan men's basketball was not going anywhere despite the transition from John Beilein to Juwan Howard. That three-day stretch in the Bahamas, though, also showed you that Franz was going to play. He was going to play a lot, and he was going to be emphatically important to this program. From zero college experience and coming off of an injury to 23, 33, and 25 minutes, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, en route to a championship. And Franz didn't slow down from there. He stormed to the earlier-than-expected finish line in his freshman season when the pandemic robbed him of being a potential March Madness freshman star. So as a sophomore, he simply turned into a star and a potential lottery pick. Wagner did not post eye-popping stats, but he was the best player on the floor in so many situations on both ends. That's why I do wonder sometimes, do I remember those words from Phil Martelli so emphatically because of how he said them, how forceful he was, how confident he was in Franz Wagner? Or do I remember them because they proved to be so true so quickly, thanks to the way Franz played, he was immediately impactful. It doesn't ultimately matter why that's remembered, but you do know, and you will always remember, that Franz was different. He was a savant, and we are really fortunate that for 2 years, he was a Michigan Wolverine. We'll have more on Franz and his decision to head to the NBA as expected. Also, a great conversation with Mike Smith, another NBA hopeful, on Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
So if you're listening to this, I'm sure you know the news. Franz Wagner declaring for the NBA draft. Not a surprise in the least. You know that a guy is beloved and is special when, just because he hadn't announced it yet, you're keeping your hopes up. Man, maybe he'll come back. Maybe Franz wants to make up for that tough Elite Eight game, which I do want to touch on in a moment. But I do encourage you to check out the Players Tribune and the letter that Franz wrote on Tuesday to Michigan fans. He really did feel the love. And we'll talk about it with Mike Smith, who also experienced that this past season, his only season, despite there not being fans around, that Mike Smith became a fan favorite. But Franz, because of the last name, because of his brother, that helped, right? But Franz, like Mo, I mean, they just have this incredible personality, this flair, this emotional attachment to the game that you see it come out of them every time they take the floor. It's so much fun to watch, and it was a blast to do it for 2 years. And everything you see about Franz, just his openness, his honesty, his respectfulness, the polite nature he handles things. It's interesting because when he's on the floor, you almost think, man, how does he muster up that type of ferocity to be great? But he just has such a handle on life. It shows on the floor, and it shows probably even more so off the floor. I really enjoyed getting to know Franz a little bit over the last couple of years, and the way that he endeared himself to fans, the way that he adapted and adjusted to the coaching change, to the new country, to the college life. And then after, you know, he's probably thinking, I finally got my bearings late in the 2020 season in February and March, and then, well, everything ends. It's really crazy, but I wish Franz nothing but the best. He is such a great representative for this university, and I'll tell you, I really do believe that he will be a lottery pick. I think he's got a great chance to be a top 10 pick. I think he's going to be one of those players that continues to rise, that climbs draft boards as this process goes, because he can do it all. And if you find one team that will buy into, in my opinion, the absolute truth that he will become a lethal shooter from outside, that was something he couldn't quite get to in his two seasons in college. But if you project it out, he's got the stroke, he's got the work ethic, he has the talent. No reason to think that he will be a 30-ish percent shooter in the NBA. I think he's got a great opportunity to be that lethal wing in the NBA. And again, what's unique about this new lottery system is there isn't a necessary guarantee that there will be the same type of teams from that 6 to 10 range in the lottery. The odds are flattened, so that back half can be a little bit jostled, and that's still being determined here over the next few weeks as the NBA regular season ends. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a team that falls in love with Franz Wagner on and off the floor, and I think he's got a chance to be a top 10 pick. That Elite Eight game, of all the players who I thought about after that, you think about the seniors because, you know, at the time you're assuming most of them would leave, and it seems like, you know, Eli Brooks will be the one returning guy of the main contributors who were seniors by title this past season. But Franz was oh so close to making that game-winning three. He had a really tough night. And this is 2 days after he outperformed by a significant margin a player who he will be compared to a lot and who he will be debated about a lot in draft rooms and in organizations over the next few months, in Scotty Barnes of Florida State. That's what's so tough about the NCAA tournament. And we've talked a little bit about how that UCLA game has aged better, because, I mean, the Bruins then took undefeated Gonzaga to the brink in one of the best college basketball games I've ever seen, and I'm sure many of you would agree with that. But Franz, it just wasn't the ending you were hoping for, and I really do hope that people don't linger too much on that. I don't think that's happened. I know there are some people out there who will just, hey, you didn't deliver me a championship, so get away, go away, I don't want you anymore. But what Franz did over the course of the season, and his freshman season as well, it's truly remarkable. I know he didn't make that all-defense team, but he was the best defender in the Big Ten last year, in my opinion. And he was such a key component to winning. He was the biggest reason why they won so many important games this past season. And he had some of those performances as a freshman as well. And it hurt me so much. You watch, I don't know about you, I've watched that Franz three-point attempt against UCLA. It took me a few days, but I've watched it a ton of times now. And you got the shot you wanted. It looked like it had a chance. It just didn't have enough on it. And you see the emotion. You see everything fall out of him in that moment. The season's over. We had it right there. And I ached for him in that moment. And I know that he's a guy who's going to use that as motivation. But it's tough when that is, and we all assumed it at the time, this was going to be his last season in Ann Arbor. And it's just such a bummer that that's how it ended, because of all the great things he had produced, he had delivered for this program throughout his time. And I hope that that is not even the lingering thought of the Franz Wagner era at Michigan. There are so many special moments that he delivered. And it's crazy to think that he almost didn't come here. This almost did not happen. And you wonder where Michigan basketball would be without Franz Wagner over the last couple of seasons. I don't know if they'd have been in the Elite Eight last year. I can tell you that for sure. All right, let's transition to another player who hopes to be playing in the NBA next season. And Mike Smith is not someone who will be drafted as high as a Franz Wagner. He might not be drafted at all, but he's very cognizant of the situation that he is in. It was a great conversation I had with the now former Wolverine about his NBA draft process, about being the underdog, of trying to prove people wrong, because there were a lot of people who thought that Mike Smith would come to Ann Arbor and not be much of a contributor. Then he put up one of the single greatest performances we've ever seen by a Michigan basketball player in the postseason in that Big Ten tournament quarterfinal against Maryland. Had some great moments in the NCAA tournament as well. Very much proved himself to be ready, willing, and able to contribute at the highest level of college basketball. Now he's betting on himself. He's trying to capitalize on this positive momentum and get himself into the NBA. It was a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it after this brief timeout.
Have you heard? Level Next, the largest college esports league, and Psyonix, makers of Rocket League, are looking for the best college Rocket League team in the country with the Level Next Rocket League Spring Showcase. $125,000 in cash is on the line. Rep your school and compete for glory. It's free and open to all college students. Registration begins May 4th and games start May 10th. Assemble your crew and sign up fast at levelnextesports.com. That's levelnextesports.com.
Great to catch up with now former Wolverine Mike Smith here on Defend the Block. And will Mike just take me through these last, five, 6 weeks? What has this stretch been like from the end of the season to now getting ready for the NBA draft?
Yeah, man, after the season, I took some time off. You know what I mean? It was a long season. We've been through so much. We sacrificed so much. And it was just nice to get away from basketball for a little bit. But after those 2 weeks, reality hit, and it was like, what are you going to do? Are you going to come back? Or are you going to bet on yourself and, you know what I mean, try to make some money for yourself? And, you know what I mean, ultimately, I came to the decision to not come back and enter my name into the draft. And I felt like that was the best decision for me moving forward. And, you know what I mean, I've always been an underdog, and I felt like, why not me? And why not now? So that's kind of what I've been through in the last couple of weeks after the season, and enjoying my time with my teammates before I end up leaving campus in Ann Arbor, and enjoying the scene because it's nothing like Ann Arbor, and I for sure miss it already. But you know, I had a fun time there this year.
So take me through that decision process. Did you at all think about it during the course of the season, or were you locked in on just the games that were being played? And what was it that ultimately pushed you to taking that NBA opportunity?
I was locked in the whole season. I wasn't thinking about the future. I just wanted to win and do whatever the team needed to win each game. And then, you know what I mean, when it came to the end, I was thinking, I mean, I'm 20, 23, going to be 24 next year in college. It's kind of old for me. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. And I think it's time for me to make money. I think I can make a lot of money playing this game of basketball. Obviously, I want to win a national championship. But at the end of the day, I think it's time for me to, you know, be a grown-up and start making a future for myself. And I thought this was the best decision for me at the time.
When you're going through this process now, is your training different? What's it like trying to go through the process of getting an agent? I mean, how different is this from, you know, this time last year, even maybe in a more normal time when you were getting ready at Columbia? How are things different now getting ready for this NBA draft and how you train and how you prep for some of the non-basketball stuff?
I think it's like being recruited again when you have to pick an agent because everybody's going to tell you whatever you want to hear. And everybody, quote unquote, has their best interest in you. They're going to get you the best job ever. You know what I mean? Everybody's going to sell you that pitch. Like, I'm going to get you here. I'm going to get you there. But, like, in reality, you have to pick the right person. And I felt like I picked the right person in the right group in Cortex basketball group and with Bernie Lee and Kirsten. And I feel like they have the best interest in me. And the workouts are starting. I've been working out three times a day, two basketball, one lift. So, you know what I mean? I feel like that's enough for me to get better each day. You know what I mean? And Coach Howard always preached 1% better. And I think I've gotten 1% better each day. And, you know what I mean? Obviously, it's different because now it's like, it's up for grabs. You know what I mean? It's whoever plays the best in the workouts, whoever plays the best in summer league is going to get that job. So now it's like, go out there and prove to everybody that you can do it and that you can play at that level. And that's basically what my whole life has been. So, you know, I'm prepared mentally and physically to go out there and to shock the world.
You mentioned some of that recruiting, and that's what you went through around this time last year when Juwan Howard and his coaching staff ultimately got you to come to Michigan. It's one thing to be told how things are going to go. How did you see those conversations with Juwan, with Saadi, Howard, and Phil? How did you see those come to fruition this year? Because you had to believe, right? You didn't right. see it yet. But how did you right. see all of those comments, all that film study, all those conversations come to fruition in you improving and playing well here?
I think, you know what I mean? Like I said, that's why I committed there. That's why I committed to Michigan. It's because I can tell that it was something, it was real. Like, it wasn't like, oh, you're going to come in here, you're going to make an impact. You're going to be able to do this, you're going to be able to do that. You know what I mean? And a lot of people tell you that, but sometimes when somebody tells you something, you know that they're for real, they're serious. And that was Coach Howard. And he, you know what I mean? And that's kind of why I committed, because he was straightforward. He told me how it was going to be, and that's how it was. You know what I mean? It wasn't no wishy-washy. It wasn't no, Mike, you may be able to do this. Mike, you're going to do that. You know what I mean? When he said it, you knew that he meant it, and he meant that. And, you know what I mean? Ultimately, I got what I wanted out of it, and hopefully he got what he wanted out of it. And, you know what I mean? We fought to the end, and obviously came up short, but we fought hard all season. We sacrificed so much. We did so much. I learned so much. I know my teammates did. I got to know a great group of guys and a great group of managers and coaching staff and just people all together at the University of Michigan.
You mentioned that you kind of took a little bit of time after the season to get away. Did you, in that time, realize just what you guys accomplished? And maybe more specifically, you talk about that sacrifice. Did you notice and could you tell just how much your sacrifices and this team's sacrifices helped other people get through this weird year? Because for a lot of people in Ann Arbor and across the country, what you guys did helped make their days a little bit easier during all this. Did you sense that? Maybe not during it because you're so locked in, but after the fact?
I think after the fact for sure. You know what I mean? I've never experienced like fans like Michigan. You know what I mean? After the season, I would just like go get something to eat or go get like a beer or something at the local bar or whatever and sit outside. And so many people come up to me and was like, great year. thank you so much for the year that you guys had. And we didn't even win, you know what I mean? So that just shows the level of commitment and love that the fans have for us. Because if your team doesn't win, you're usually supposed to be mad. But at the end of the day, they were happy. And that kind of shows you the respect and the love and the caring and all the traits that you want as a fan base to have and a school to have for you, because it shows you that, and it shows you that they care for you so much more than you think. Because at the moment you think like, man, like we lost, like people are going to be upset. But when you come back to campus and people are just praising you for what you did, it kind of makes you feel better about it, but not really, because you want to win. But it makes you feel a little bit better about yourself and about the team and about the things that you accomplished. Because going to Elite Eight is really hard. It's not easy. It's only 8 teams, and it's like 200-300 teams in the NCAA, and just to do that is really good.
No, I can tell you that after the season, we were trying to get guys like you and Sean D on. It's amazing the impact that you and Sean D in particular. I mean, we all knew Isaiah and Austin and Eli. Those guys had made impacts over the course of 4 or 5 years. Did you sense you were a fan favorite, whether it was on Twitter or on Instagram or whatever else it might be? Because I saw it all the time just on the digital space. No one could see you play live, yet I think you became a fan favorite. Did you sense that?
Not really until like the end of the season. I was like, wow, like a lot of people like me, like, yeah, like I'm their favorite. Like it was crazy. And I think a lot of has to do with it is my height. You know what I mean? I'm an underdog and everybody loves the underdog. Everybody loves the underdog. And then how hard I played and the plays that I made for the team, and just, you know what I mean? My hair had a big thing too. But yeah, no, I really didn't sit until after the season, and a lot of people reached out to me and via social media, via when I was going to the store, going just to hang out with my teammates, or just somebody will see me on the walking down State Street and be like, oh my God, Mike Smith, you're my favorite. Can I get a picture? And I'm always like, yes, because I think you always have to give back just a little bit of something to the people that are rooting for you, because in this world, a lot of people are rooting against you, but the people that are rooting for you, you have to, you know what I mean, do the best that you can to do something for them or do whatever they ask, or, you know what I mean, it's just a nice thing to do. And that's always been me. And that's what I've been taught to and grown up, you know what I mean, learned from my parents. So I for sure didn't notice that till the end of the season, but it was, you know what I mean, it's great to be somebody's favorite for sure.
It was there, man. It was real. Now that you have had a chance to sit back and think about what you guys accomplished, what do you think it was that allowed you and your teammates to be so successful, especially in a year where there were a lot of new faces and you had to get to know each other like we're talking right now?
No, I think just buying into the culture and buying into wanting to win and what it takes to win. You know what I mean? That's hard to do with a new group of guys and then having some people come back and then having your season, you know what I mean, disappointed, like just not coming back, just your season just ending like this. And people were like, oh, I don't know if the season's going to happen again. I don't know. We didn't have a winning record like that. Like we had a winning record, but like we, you know what I mean, we weren't at the top like we were this year. So it's just like, it's so many things that can like jumble into like, so many things that can come into your head is like, oh, it's not going to work. But you know what I mean, coach reassured us that this is the way that we're going to do it. And this is going to help us win. So if we buy into this, then we're going to win. And we all wanted to win, so we all bought in. And that's kind of what it was. And it worked out for us in the long haul.
So tell me how you think you improved over the course of this season. And you talked to us early in the season about playing with NBA-type players with the goal of wanting to be like that as well. How did you see yourself grow over the last 12 months or so?
What I took away from this season for me is that I learned how to play hard. I learned how to play defense better than what I've done in the past. I think that's a given, because that was a question, is if I could play defense. And if I couldn't play defense, coach wouldn't have started me.
Sure.
I know coach for sure would not have started me, because we had a smaller backcourt than most teams, like me and Eli. A lot of teams had like 6'3", 6'5", guards all the time. But you know what I mean? I think that's something that I took away from the season that I grew, is the area of playing hard and defense, and running a team. of people that have the ability to do whatever they want, whenever they want, because they're NBA type players, because that's kind of what the NBA is. Just give them the ball and get out of the way and let them go one-on-one and do the things. But knowing that if Hunter's hot, keep feeding Hunter, getting a pick and roll with Hunter and make them decide, is it going to be me or is it going to be Hunter? Which one is it going to be? If Isaiah's hot, run a down screen, a pick and roll. I mean, not a pick and roll, run a pin down for Isaiah, have him come off the screen and give him the ball. Franz, you know what I mean? Dribble at him. People are going to deny him backdoor. Give him the ball, run a little ball screen. They're going to go under. He just hit a three, so they're going to go under again. I don't know why, but they're going to go under again and hit a shot. Find Shondi when he's hot. When he's high, he's hot. Austin, post him up. You know what I mean? It's just like picking your teammates. Brandon Johns can do everything. So, like, if he's open, give him the ball. You know what I mean? So it was something that I learned, and it's learning how to learn like this. And I learned how to adjust my game when needed, because my game changed from scoring all the time to not. And to do that in a year is really hard for anybody. You can tell me that some people can do it. Most people can't, because it's really hard to do. And to do it at that level is, I think, if I can give myself a pat on the back, I would, but I don't want to, because the job's not done. I have so much more work to be done. But I think that's something else that I could take away from the season, because that's really hard to do.
No, you deserve a ton of pats on the back, because it was incredible watching you evolve, watching you grow. And I mean, it really culminated in some of those postseason performances where, I mean, Terry and I on the broadcast nicknamed you the Maestro, because it seemed like by the end of the season, you just had a control and a calm. I don't know how much of Xavier Simpson's game you watched leading into coming to Ann Arbor, but he was somebody who had that. It just seemed like he knew how to command not just his four other teammates on the floor, but the other five in the other uniform. Did you feel like by the end of that season, you had a command and a control that maybe you could not have had at Columbia because of the responsibilities that you possessed there?
I think I felt a lot more comfortable. So I felt like once you're comfortable, the game comes to you. You don't force the game. And I definitely felt that going into the end of the season. And coach, you know what I mean? I finally figured out coach, and coach finally figured out me. And obviously, it took the whole season, because it's hard, especially at the point guard spot. It's hard because you have to do what the coach wants, and the coach kind of got to figure out how your game is. And over a year, that's like really hard to do. But I felt a lot more comfortable, and he gave me a lot more responsibility to be able to just go out there and play the game. And, you know what I mean? I'm thankful for that, because I just went out there and played. I didn't have any pressure on me.
A few more questions here for Mike Smith. Do you have a favorite moment or a few favorite moments from this past season that stand out?
I think that game versus Wisconsin. I've never, ever in my life experienced something like that when we went on a run. I think it was like 40 points or 30 points. It was crazy. Like, we couldn't miss. And it was just the energy in there was tremendous. And I love that. The game at Wisconsin, we came back. And then probably the game versus Maryland with the 15 assists. I would never forget that game. I don't even remember that game. Like, it just happened. Like, you're laughing. I'm so serious. Like, it's crazy that I'm saying it. But, like, I just, like, it feels unreal. Like, I played that game. Like, I didn't even think. I just played. Like, I didn't have any conscience. Like, I was just out there to play. And I was like, having fun with my teammates. And it was, like, the best moment of my life, I think. One of the best moments of my life. And then, obviously, the Michigan State, when we beat Michigan State at home and we got to cut down the nets, it was a great moment for sure.
There's plenty to speak of. And yeah, I think it was an out-of-body experience for a lot of Michigan fans in that Maryland game. That was pretty darn special. You mentioned now getting ready to go to the NBA. Of course, a lot of people, and you've talked about the relationship with Jimmy Butler. Whether it's him or others on this, maybe this Michigan coaching staff with Juwan Howard and Howard Eisley, who have extensive NBA right. experience, who have you leaned on, and what has been the best advice you've gotten in now transitioning into this role of getting ready for the NBA?
As me, as a person that I am, I've always reached out to people for help. So I've reached out to Coach Howard, Coach Eisley, Saadi, everybody, Jimmy, agent. Just to get a feel of what I need to do to make it. And basically they said to be a dog on defense, because I'm going to have to play defense a lot harder versus a lot elite, more players. I have to score the ball more because it's harder to be if you're going to give up points, you got to be able to get those points back. You know what I mean? Offensively. So I have to be more of a scorer. So I have to, my role has to change again, but I also have to be a facilitator because everybody in the NBA can score. So what's going to make me different than everybody else? That's that kid that's an 18 and 6'5", 6'3" as a point guard. What's going to make me, you know what I mean, be that other person? And I have to be more vocal too, because I have to find a way to get the NBA's eye, a team's eye, and for them to like me more than that other person who may be in the league a little longer because he's younger, right? Because at the end of the day, I understand how the NBA works. I understand how life works. If somebody's younger and they can do the same exact thing than you, you're going to probably take that person that's younger because they have more years, right? You know what I mean? That's just in business. That's in life. Obviously, business may be a little different because you want the experience. But sometimes if that person is just as good as that person that's older, you're going to want to take them. And I just understand life like that. So I have to work tremendously hard this summer and over these next 2 months and get on the summer league team and, you know, prove everybody wrong that I belong out there, because I feel like I do. And I've always proven everybody wrong. A lot of people didn't think that I can do things that I did at Michigan. You know what I mean? But I didn't say anything. I just kept my head down and worked tremendously hard and did what the team needed. And each and every day of practice got better. And I surprised a lot of people. And a lot of people would say that I had a really great season. And, you know, I mean, that's just something that I always have a chip on my shoulder because of my height and because of everything else. But at the end of the day, it's never going to change. I'm never going to get taller. So I just got to continue to do what I do best is work hard, study the game and study my teammates and study the coaching staff and the culture. And get better and help them get better. And at the end of the day, if that's not enough, then hey, I'll go somewhere else and make another team better. If it's overseas, overseas, it's in G League, it's in the G League. But make that group of guys better and make some money for myself and, you know, I mean, give back to the community and give back to my family and, you know, I mean, hopefully give back to Michigan and come back and be able to sit courtside, afford a courtside ticket to the game and watch my brothers compete and battle and win a game.
Well, that's a great attitude to have, and I'll tell you what, if you have to pay for it, I don't know what's going on. I think you deserve one without having to pay. I said this to Sean D, man. I can't wait for you and Sean D to come back and get that sold-out crowd ovation that you guys deserve because it couldn't happen this year. There would have been a ton of them this season. I think about that Michigan State game at home and what that could have been like. I know it was so special, but it could have gone one more level,
right,
which is a shame.
And I understand. I've seen all the games and the stands and how much the fans are there. It would have been so crazy to be there. And I could only imagine the Elite Eight game if that whole arena had people. It would have been crazy. Cause I thought it was crazy when we played Maryland and it was loud because we never had fans like that. And it was crazy. I was like, wow, this is what it's like. Yeah. Fans from all over the world coming to see us play. And it was just great. Yeah. But for sure, I can't wait to come back. Hopefully, if we have our ring ceremony, hopefully it's the first game of the season and the fans can all be there. And I'm for sure going to enjoy that moment. And hopefully I get to see a football game. Because I haven't got to see a football game either. But yeah, I'm really excited to get back. You know what I mean? Hopefully it's the first game of the season for the ring ceremony for our Big Ten championship. So I'm really excited.
Last one for you. Because we're affiliated with the school, we can't say the exact name on this, but you talked about how important it is for you to ask people questions. Well, if there happens to be some point guard who's transferring from a smaller school to Michigan, for instance, just a hypothetical here, what would your advice be in that situation if someone were to reach out? Because what you did is not common. What you accomplish is not how it normally goes. What advice would you have for that next generation of people coming to Michigan, whether they're a four-year transfer or they're a freshman?
I think just going to this year thinking that this is going to be your best years ever. This is going to be your best years or year ever, depending on the situation. But go in and work each and every day, because if you don't, coach is going to make you. So you might as well have the mindset to go in there and work each and every day. And to go in there, if you're a four-year, you're transferring, I would say go in there and run the team and make sure that everybody knows that you're there so that everybody listens to you. And to go in there and play hard every day, practice and in games, because it translates and people are going to respect you. If you do it in practice, then if you do it in the game, people are not going to say anything because you do it in practice. So do everything you're going to do in the game and practice. And that's something that I learned too. And as a freshman, I would say, hey, just come in and just be willing to learn and to work hard every day, because you have a great group of guys and you have a great group of coaching staff that's around you that's going to teach you. And if you want to be taught, then just learn from them, and then you will go on to be a great Michigan player, because they ultimately know what they're doing.
Well, you knew what you were doing, Mike. We really appreciate the time. Looking forward to seeing how this process goes for you, and hopefully we can catch up after that landing spot is determined, all right?
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Really cool to chat with Mike Smith. Great to catch up with him about what was a fascinating season. Love the attitude that he has, trying to prove people wrong. He understands where he's at. He's not saying, hey, I should be the number one pick in the draft. I can do this, this, and that. He's going to keep his head down, keep working, because there were a lot of voices around saying Mike Smith couldn't do what he did this past season. You heard Mike allude to that. Mike far exceeded the expectations here in Ann Arbor. He'll need to do that to get an NBA opportunity and excel from there. But hey, we've seen it happen before. Fingers crossed it'll happen again for Mike, for Sean D. Looking forward to finding out where Franz Wagner will land. Isaiah Livers will have to go through a lot of the non-basketball related processes in this NBA draft lead up as he works back from injury. I still think he will be a second round pick. But again, you never know how this will play out. It's an inexact science. It only takes one team, though, to fall in love with your game, your potential, your upside. And here's hoping every Michigan NBA-bound prospect finds a home. That'll do it for this edition of Defend the Block. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Your fandom, your enthusiasm, your passion for Michigan basketball, really, really noticeable. Send us an email, MichiganWolverinesRadio@gmail.com. Subscribe, rate, review. I also want to give a PSA, a shout out, anyone who's in minor league baseball. That's where I got my start when I was working in the broadcast industry. They had, like so many, a brutal year. So if you are a sports fan, if you are a baseball fan, if you are not a baseball fan, check out one of the many local baseball options around the area. Of course, Michigan baseball and softball is a great option, but also there's just a uniqueness to going to a minor league baseball game. So whether it's the Lugnuts, the Mudhens, the Great Lakes Loons, West Michigan Whitecaps, wherever you happen to be listening, check out a minor league baseball game this season. I promise you won't be disappointed, and I wish great luck to all those broadcasters in the minor leagues. I used to be one of them. It was a thrill. I don't miss the bus rides, but I can tell you it was an experience of a lifetime. That's it. I'm done. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.